Hey everyone, my name is Will Malice and I'm an assistant news editor for the Massachusetts Daily Collegian, the only student-run print and online newspaper here on the UMass campus, serving the community since 1890, and this is the official podcast for the news section of the Collegian called the Collegian News Hour. We are recording today's episode on Sunday, September 8th, but this, like every installment of our podcast, will be released at 8 o'clock every Tuesday morning on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts. So here in the studio with me to recap the stories we have covered over the past week and in the summer are the rest of the news team, if you want to introduce yourselves.
I'm Catherine Eston, I'm another assistant news editor.
I'm Mariana Kostake, also assistant news editor.
I'm Abby Charpentier, the news editor.
Cassie McGrath, assistant news editor.
And I'm Chris McLaughlin, the last assistant news editor.
Cool, so this is the first episode of our fourth season. We've all come back from summer break, so we'll start by talking about some of the big stories over the summer. So one of the big stories was the freshman class that has come in. The class of 2023 is very large. It's totaling at around 5,800 students, which is an almost an 800 student increase. Last year it was 5,010 students. Some of the ways the university is trying to handle with so many people is McNamara Suites. McNamara is a part of Sylvan. They're making suites that hold 6 to 8 students. They're also adding in economy triples, which they're turning large doubles into triples, and then also expanded quads, which they take common rooms or lounges and then turn them into quads that can fit 4 people. So what do you guys kind of think of this large class and how maybe the school could handle accepting more students?
I think you can definitely notice the difference on campus of how many people that there are. I've heard there are long lines outside of dining halls and problems navigating to classes and outside of the rec center, more so than I personally have ever noticed before. Like, the freshman class last year seemed pretty big, but this one, I think, really adds to how many people are on campus.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's, like, necessarily bad that we have more people. This is a state school. Like, we should try to open our doors to as many people as possible. That's why, like, public education exists. But God, like, I think, especially with the living situation, I think that's so, it's become so inconvenient for a lot of people and kind of unfair to squeeze people into triples and forced quads. And, like, for the students and for the RAs, that's a lot of people to manage.
Yeah, and in addition to housing, I think it'll be interesting to see how this impacts other parts of campus. Like, once we come around to course selection, are they going to run into a lot of issues for necessary courses? Because I know already, especially juniors and seniors, they have to start reserving courses to make sure, you know, you can't take requirements early and people keep having to push it later and later. So I'll be interested, you know, in 3 to 4 years if that starts to hit the university.
So you guys have anything else to say? Okay, so next up we have tuition increase that was announced over the summer. So the UMass Board of Trustees voted to increase tuition by 2.5% for all in-state students among all of the UMass campuses. And then it was a 3% increase for out-of-state students. That was 3% for every campus except for Lowell. And then there was a 3% increase of graduate tuition, but Lowell didn't have any increase. And then according to a UMass press release, this increase was consistent with inflation. And then they said it was below the average increase among New England state schools, which was 3.7%, and then below the average for Massachusetts public institutions, which was 3.3%. So at UMass, in-state tuition for the year, it costs $15,791, and then out-of-state tuition costs $35,112. So what do you guys think of that?
I'm, like, surprised that ULOL, of all the schools, is the one that doesn't have to pay more. I feel like it's a very popular choice. I'm originally from out that area, and I know a lot of people who go to that school, so I just find it odd that every other UMass school's tuition rates are going up, but except for ULOL. It just seems like an outlier for some reason. Don't know why it is.
I wonder if maybe they're trying to kind of attract more, like, graduate students or more, out-of-state students, because maybe, I don't know, like, numbers, so I don't want to say, but maybe UMass Lowell is more of, like, a lot of people commute there, so they want to attract, like, a different group of people.
I don't know. I just, for me personally, I think that, like, I would love to see people changing a little bit how they talk about, like, tuition and affordability at colleges, because I think, like, for the past decade or so, UMass has, like, slowly increased tuition, but people still kind of, like, are like, okay, whatever, at least it's still the most affordable option. But it's still not super affordable to a lot of students. And, like, personally, I do know somebody who had to drop out because of this tuition increase. So, like, it does affect a lot of students, and it's unfortunate to see that, like, it's continuing to happen for so many years.
Yeah, because, you know, UMass is, like, a state school, and it's, like, relatively more affordable than, like, you know, a lot of private schools or, like, schools that go up to, like, $50,000, $60,000, even for, like, in-state students. So, but at the same time, because it's increasing, now it's at, like, $30,000, and it, like, schools just keep getting, like, more and more expensive.
And I remember following this issue, a lot of people tend to focus the discussion on campus. You know, it's the Board of Trustees that wants to increase fees. But when I was reading about the issue, I think it was in our article, and I've read a few op-eds about it, about how it's also really at the state level. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, state officials will say, oh, well, maybe we should freeze the tuition, and then campus officials fight back against that. But then it's also, we just haven't received more state funding over the years. And I believe it's state funding has remained pretty much consistent for a while now. And I wonder whether there's people who want to reshape that conversation to focus more on the state, or whether it's still important to keep the campus discussion involved there.
I also think there's a bit of a disconnect between the student body and the funding. I know, like, personally, when the tuition increased, it was one of the first times I ever really looked and saw where all the money went. And I think that for, like, students, we kind of get into this, we make a promise with the school, like, this is where we're going to go, and we kind of expect it to go one way. So a spike in the tuition, I think, really should include the student body more. And it's really tough, like, knowing that people could no longer attend this school, a state school, like, I think you said it well, because of this tuition increase. I think it's really upsetting in that way. And I think it would be great if they included the student body more and where the money goes exactly.
Yeah, totally. And to your point, when, like, I believe tuition kind of came out pretty late because they were debating about it in the state house, and it wasn't until when the, like, final budget was approved in the state is when tuition came out. And it's like the process is kind of totally devoid of students. This is based off, you know, like, political discussions in the state, and so they definitely should try and, like, find a way to at least involve students more.
Yeah, kind of related to your point. Well, the time it came out was probably most frustrating for me because it delays when they announce financial aid. So, you know, having to wait until very late in the summer to figure out financial aid, that, you know, I kind of got home, figured out my financial aid, and then I had to immediately pay my bill. And had that gap been open more, I don't know whether that could have impacted more students or left more students in a precarious position going into the semester.
Yeah, totally. So that was kind of like our big news stories that have happened, but we kind of wanted to do, as, like, this is our first episode of the semester, do, like, a preview of upcoming stories. So Abby, if you want to.
Yeah, so last week it was announced that Supreme Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg will be visiting Amherst College. Her visit will happen on October 3rd at 5 p.m. in Johnson Chapel. And right now it's only open to Amherst College students, faculty, and staff. So, I don't know, there's been a little bit of criticism that it's not more widely available to people who are interested, but there'll be a live stream online, but I think you have to have an Amherst College username and password to access it. But, yeah, it will be a talk with the Amherst College president. So during her visit, she'll also meet with students in the Cole Assembly Room, and they'll kind of discuss previous Supreme Court decisions, and just will be able to meet with her. And this isn't the first time that Justice Ginsburg visited Amherst College. She came in 1991, 2 years before her appointment to the U.S. Supreme Court, and she received an honorary degree from the then Amherst College president, Peter Pouncey.
Cool. So, and also, Catherine, you covered about an upcoming concert.
Sure. So this article should be coming out in the next few days. There's an upcoming festival coming. It's going to be at Mullins. It's free for students. It's called the FYGU Music and Tech Festival. FYG stands for Find Your Grind. It's being produced by Big Noise and sponsored by Prime Student. So there will be a lot of artists coming for the, I believe it's called the TikTok Main Stage. And this will be on September 19th, if I didn't start with that, from 5 to 10 p.m. So there's a few different artists coming, including Pusha T, Lil Tecca, Solihad, and Teyona. So I'm going to be speaking with the producer tomorrow, so maybe if you read the article, you'll find out what he has to say in there. But what I've found so far is they put a lot of focus on having these interactive experiences, allowing students to look at more creative opportunities, and then also having more access to different aspects of tech, which is a big part of Prime's involvement, so Amazon Prime.
Cool. There's some like construction coming up. There's a turf field being built at Boyden that's going to be planned to use for like recreational use. There's going to be a turf practice field built at McGurk Stadium, and they're also going to build like a dome with like a large auxiliary board, and then they're continuing construction on the student union in Worcester. For Worcester, you can kind of like, they're starting to build like the frame of the building and stuff. So those are some construction to look out for. And then another story is Hampshire College. So Hampshire College is currently accredited. And what it means to be accredited is means that a school meets like a certain set of standards that ensures to the public that it provides a quality education. And if a school isn't accredited, sometimes it's hard for students to be eligible for federal loans and grants, as well as if for your field you have to get a certification and you have to take like a test. Sometimes they don't allow you to take the test if you got your degree at a school that wasn't accredited. So in the case of Hampshire, their accrediting body is the New England Commission of Higher Education, and they're considering withdrawing or putting Hampshire's, either withdrawing its accreditation or putting it on probation, and that's going to be decided in November. So that's something Hampshire's kind of working towards to kind of make the case on why it should remain accredited. So yeah, so with those, do you guys have any like predictions for the upcoming semester?
I predict that there's going to be a lot of construction woes this semester and the next year. I wouldn't be surprised if UMass decided to unveil yet another new construction project in the works or something along those lines. So I think by year's end, we'll probably hear about something else that they want to rebuild or revamp or a whole new project entirely.
Well, I don't know if I just wasn't paying attention last semester, but I think there's like a new something happening in the athletic fields. Have you guys seen that? Do you know what that is?
Oh, yeah, down near the entrance. I wasn't sure if you'd mentioned the athletic fields near McGurk and near Boyden, because I assumed that maybe that's part of that, if it's just taking up more land.
Oh.
But I've also heard some unconfirmed reports that because of the housing crisis, a lot of people predict some form of apartment buildings or additional suites will be built within the next few years. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, talks about that possible construction project would come up.
You would assume they would have to.
Yeah, with 1,500.
Yeah.
I predict there's probably going to be another riot this year. I don't like to say it because I'm not a Patriots fan, but like, I have a friend that was like really happy about like the new person that they had signed. So I don't know. It looks like that's going to be a thing again.
I'm excited to see how the hockey team does, mixing in with the sports section a little bit, because the football team, I think, would align with any of our possible predictions here. But with Kayla McCargon, I'm really interested to see what happens to the team. As a big sports fan myself, hopefully no riots from UMass hockey, though.
I mean, I think for student news, I'll be interested to see. You know, every year we get a few protests or student marches, and I'm always entertained and fascinated by what does happen. You mentioned Hampshire. I'm sure that's going to be an issue going into this year, that they have such a small freshman class. But at UMass specifically, I'll just be interested to see, is it national news, you know, heading into next year with the presidential election that's going to be a big deal on campus, or is it just going to be local news?
I'm excited to see what shows up in the police logs, because those are just always fun and interesting for the most part. I mean, some terrible stuff does happen, but yeah, we're doing those again. We're doing the Amherst police logs and the UMPD logs. So I feel like it's always more exciting when we first get back to campus because people are always hyped up and stuff. So I'm excited to kind of see what comes from that in the next couple of weeks.
I predict we'll also get some great new news writers this year, and I'm excited to meet them.
You may meet them, who knows, at the end of this year or later this semester. They could be here with us in this very room on this very podcast.
It's very possible.
Come to news meetings Mondays at 5:30 in the collegian's office.
So, like, what are, now that, like, we're starting the semester, what are, like, we all excited for personally about the upcoming semester?
The collegium, I'm always excited to see what the next story is going to be, and to read some good comments coming back.
Yeah, I mean, Cassie just said this, but I'm just excited to see, like, who shows up, who's going to be writing for us again, who we can, like, get to know.
I'm excited to kind of see what the other sections in the Collegian are doing, because, you know, sometimes we kind of just focus on news, but, you know, the past week we've been talking to other sections about what they're doing and kind of like the podcast that they're doing and other multimedia stuff. So I'm excited to kind of see what they do and, you know, maybe if we like steal some, not steal their ideas, but, you know, we are influenced by.
I'm excited to release the first episode of the podcast I'm starting for the Collegian with another assistant news editor. But I'm also really excited to work with this team on this awesome podcast and news stories throughout the semester. We never really know what we're going to get. Like, at this point last year, no one could have predicted Porta. So I'm really excited. And I'm hoping that we can do some awesome breaking news this year and some features and investigative reporting.
Yeah, and I'm excited about all those things. I think it's hard to top what Cassie just said personally, but I'm excited to see what, you know, UMass sports, UMass academics, just what's going on around campus and all the unknowns that will be known in a matter of weeks and months. So I'm excited to see where this year takes us.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm excited based on like what you guys said. I'm excited for the podcast. I think it'll be really good. And I'm just excited to just kind of to start reporting. And it's kind of like boring in the summer when you don't have anything to do. But like when you're here, you can like report. And it's just exciting being like involved with everything that's going on. And I think it'll be a really good year. But I think that's all the time we have for now. It was great having everyone listen. Tune in next time. And once again, I'm Will Malice.
I'm Catherine Esten.
I'm Marina Kostake.
I'm Abby Charpentier.
I'm Cassie McGrath.
And I'm Chris McLaughlin.
And you've been listening to the Collegian News Hour. The music for this podcast was created by Joaquin Carud and promoted by Audio Library. Make sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and give us a rating if you enjoyed today's episode. It really helps us out. So thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.